Colmer and Tet, welcome back to Source Material, man. I appreciate
Great to be back.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on here and joining me again for the What You're Reading special. Last time I think me and you had a podcast, we were doing Alan Moore Month, and we talked The Watchmen.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So it's 2017, a new year is upon us. Do you know what's changed since the last time we discussed what you've been reading off the top of your head? Has anything changed, or have you decided to drop DC and Marvel and now you're an independent guy? What's going on?
Well, I think the biggest thing that's changed is we're now fully in the swing of Rebirth, whereas the last time we talked, Rebirth was just sort of beginning.
Right. It just happened. What are you thinking so far? I haven't read anything since that first issue, by the way, so I have no idea.
Well, pretty much everything I've read from Rebirth, I've been at least a moderate fan of. There really hasn't been anything that has... Well, there's been one book that has sort of turned me off, but other than that, I've been really enjoying what DC's been putting out.
As I'll say, you got a favorite book that you're reading off that's in that Rebirth realm?
Probably Aquaman.
Is it? I'm still no surprise.
Yeah, I'm still a huge Aquaman mark.
Well, it's good to hear they're doing him justice to where you're not upset with that book.
Yeah, Geoff Johns really understands the character and gets where they need him to be. And the current writer, Dan Abnett, who is a fantastic science fiction author and is able to really get into the... It's very political right now. They're just coming off of a war between Atlantis and the surface world.
Oh, okay. You know, that sounds Aquaman-y. That's for sure. How about any of the rest of Rebirth? Chugging along? I mean, anything that's really stuck out to you that you didn't like?
I didn't take a whole lot of risks. I didn't go in to a lot of books that I didn't already enjoy before Rebirth. I picked a few back up. I picked Nightwing back up. I picked up Batman Beyond, but I didn't really stray too far out of my comfort zone. The only book I've really not been a huge fan of so far is Supergirl.
Oh, really?
I think it's because they're trying to make it too much like the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the TV show, but the setup for Supergirl in the TV show is so different from her New 52 setup, where in the TV show she came to Earth as a young girl and was raised as a human. In the New 52, she showed up on Earth like 2 years ago.
Okay.
She's still very Kryptonian, but they're trying to make her more, oh, she's with Cat Grant and she's a bumbling assistant and she's got an Earth family, and it's just not jiving as well as it could. They're trying to give it elements of the show, which is not in and of itself a bad thing, because the show is fantastic. I don't know if you've watched it or not, but it's one of the better shows on TV right now.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch any of it, but I've heard a lot of good stuff.
I'm having trouble reconciling what I know of Supergirl in the New 52 and now in Rebirth and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I think I just sort of have to shut that part of my brain off and try to read the book on its own merits and see if I can get with it, because it's not poorly written. It's not poorly drawn. It's got plenty of action. It's just that cognitive dissonance that I'm running into.
Yeah, I know you have been reading for a while most of the New 52, or a good portion of the New 52 comics, right?
Yeah.
So you've got all that ingrained there. With Rebirth, are you seeing, you know, when Rebirth launched, I wondered what they were going to do. And I think we took time to postulate what DC's direction was going to be with Rebirth. Has any of it surprised you where you were like, okay, this is not where I thought they were going? Or is it felt pretty standard? Okay, this is kind of where I thought everything would go.
Well, it's some of one side and some of the other. Like, they just killed off the old Superman, the New 52 Superman, the one that everyone thought was
they hated.
Yeah. And they brought back, he's a Superman from another Earth, and he's basically the Superman from before the New 52.
I know what you're talking about. He is the one that's married to Lois, right?
Yeah, and has a son.
My first instinct was the Superman from I want to say, wasn't the man who had everything, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow? But I know, yeah. that's not it, right? That's not that Superman.
They haven't really said exactly where he's supposed to be from.
Okay.
It's implied that he's the Superman from before whatever caused the New 52 to happen.
I don't remember him having a kid prior to New 52, though, right? Or was
he
that?
He didn't.
Okay.
He didn't.
All right.
But there was a miniseries, The Adventures of... I think it was called The Adventures of Lois and Clark, but I'm not sure. That was about a Superman and a Lois Lane getting married and having a kid and being underground and trying to hide the fact that he was Superman from the world. And so that led into the current run of both Superman and Action Comics, where that's the Superman that we're following now. But they never really said if it was an alternate reality or if it was from before the New 52 somehow and he fell through the cracks, or exactly what his origin is. All we know is that he's a Superman similar to the Superman we're used to.
Are you okay with that?
I don't mind it. I like the dynamic between Superman and Batman and their sons.
Oh, yeah.
There's a very interesting dynamic between Damian Wayne and John Kent. Specifically, they really hate each other.
I think I saw a cover. I've seen the cover where they're both staring each other down, aren't they? And they got like these. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If I can find that cover, I'll bring it up. But go ahead and continue.
Well, they're getting their own book here pretty soon called Super Sons.
Okay.
That I'm looking forward to. They've had a couple of, I haven't been reading any of the Bat books, but, well, I've been reading none of the Bat books except for Nightwing. But in Superman, they had a couple of run-ins with the kids, like Batman and Superman trying to teach them to work as a team and it not working at all.
How do they portray him? I'm just curious. I know Damian has, you know, this attitude about him, and that was kind of the way that I saw, or at least what I've heard of Damian Wayne. How is Jonathan Kent? Is he much like his father?
He is exactly the son that you would expect Superman to raise. He is quiet, unassuming, kind of an aw shucks boy next door, except he's got heat vision.
That's awesome.
And then right now, to go on that same tangent, in the sister series Action Comics, is all about Superman facing down Lex Luthor and how Lex is now portraying himself as a Superman, if not the Superman.
I think I've heard a little bit about that. I remember that.
Yeah, because Lex is running around in a Superman-themed battle suit and saving Metropolis, and the only person in the world that doesn't trust him is Superman.
Of course. So the other title you said you was reading, was that, you said Titans?
Yeah, Titans.
Now that, from what I've heard, has gotten a little, I think it's Titans. How many Titans? Is there the new Titans and then Titans, or how many Titans books are there?
There's currently two Titans books. There's Titans and Teen Titans.
Okay.
Titans is the book that, it's the team that everyone's familiar with. It's, well, sort of. It's everyone who the comic fans are familiar with. It's Nightwing and Wally West, Red Arrow, or Arsenal he still is, Donna Troy and Lilith, sort of the comic for the fans of the old Titans comics. And then Teen Titans is like Beast Boy, Starfire, Raven, and Damian Wayne, and the other Wally West.
Oh, the one that came back from Rebirth.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. And we saw that interaction in that first issue between both of them at one point. There was like a hint or something, if I remember right, in that first issue. But yeah, okay. So we got both Wally Wests, one on each team, you said, right?
Yep.
Interesting. What do you think so far?
I haven't been reading Teen Titans, but I've been reading the classic Titans run, and it's pretty good. They did a really cool intro to sort of explain where Wally West had been and what had happened to him. And we were wrong. It was not Dr. Manhattan that took him out of space and time.
Ooh, okay. What happened? Tell me.
There's an old Titans villain called Kadabra, who is a guy from the future who uses super futuristic tech that masquerades as magic.
Okay.
He's obsessed with being the world's greatest magician.
Was he a pretty high-profile villain at one point? That guy does not sound like somebody I've heard of before.
He was a consistent Titans villain. He was never on any of the cartoons or in any of the shows or anything like that, but he was a pretty consistent villain for Wally West.
Okay.
He's the one who made Wally West disappear. That was his great trick, was he made Wally West disappear.
I see. And he's been gone forever and a day until finally he comes back.
Yep.
With the whole Watchmen thing, have they been alluding to that at all? Or have you seen any books that have been kind of hitting more towards that? Or have they gone into full explanations or anything like that?
Not in anything that I've read, and I haven't seen anything online about it either. So I don't know if they're just dropping that idea,
wow,
if they're holding it in the vest pocket and they're waiting for the right time to spring it. Nothing in any of the books that I read.
Dude, that was almost like the hook of that first issue was Batman finding that pin in the cave. If that's something they're keeping secret, that's actually pretty commendable, because if nothing's out there on the internet yet that you've seen popularized, which as soon as we would have heard something, that would have been on the internet, and you know, and any of the big sites would have been covering it, because that was a big deal.
This day and age, I mean, Wednesday afternoon, everyone knows what was in every book.
Yep, that's the truth. Any other DC titles there?
I mean, I've been reading Batman Beyond, which is fine. I've been reading Wonder Woman, which has been alternatingly pretty good and very okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell they're trying to gear up for the movie in any way?
I don't think they're really gearing up for the movie, but they're doing this weird thing where they're alternating her story. Wonder Woman comes out every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And every other issue is a different storyline. You've got one storyline running in 1 week, and then the next couple weeks, there's the different storyline. And one is about Wonder Woman's origins and when she first came to man's world, and the other is her quest to go back to Themyscira. And honestly, it gets a little confusing.
I was going to say, so the first issue that comes out in that month is focusing on that one storyline. They're not splitting it in each book, are they?
No.
So one storyline is like issue 5, and then the next issue 6 would be another storyline. Is that how that works?
Yeah. And it's been very confusing. Like, it's hard for me to keep straight from week to week. Okay, is this a flashback issue, or is this present day? Am I supposed to be like, do I know these characters yet, or are they just revealing them? And it's been a little bit hair raising.
Yeah, you know, with the whole flashback thing, or you know, showing a story that happens previous, the goal of that, I would assume, is similar to what Lost did, where they would show you the backstory, and then at some point, this backstory is going to supply some kind of crazy origin for something that's happening in the current story. Is that what you are? Do they feel completely separate?
The only real binding tie between them is the idea of Themyscira. Whereas in the prequel series, Wonder Woman is leaving Themyscira, and in the present day series, Wonder Woman is trying to get back to Themyscira. And I don't want to spoil the newest couple issues for anyone, so I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
But they don't seem to be tying together very well. I don't know that there are two different teams working on the two different storylines, but the way they've been sort of all over the board, it wouldn't surprise me.
Hmm. Well, any other DC? Were there any titles that you've dropped? DC, Marvel, otherwise? Anything where you were just like, okay, can't read this anymore?
I mean, not really. I thought I was going to drop Superwoman for a second, but it was just a bad issue. Other than that, I've been pretty consistent getting the same titles from both DC and Marvel.
Tell me about Superwoman.
It was originally built with two superwomen, but Lois Lane, who was one of them, and Lana Lang is the other, both historically tied to Superman, got their powers in the death of the New 52 Superman when they were hit with the solar radiation from him exploding. Lana Lang turned into an electrical-based hero who can take in radiation and emit it in different ways. And Lois Lane turned into Superman. She's strong and fast and tough. Well, in the very first issue, Lois Lane dies.
Oh, jeez.
She dies in the exact same way that the New 52 Superman did. She turns into ash.
Wow.
And so since then, Lana has been sort of haunted by this ghost of Lois Lane, who's been sort of egging her on and
like a spirit. A spirit or something like that?
It's Lois Lane, but only Lana can see her.
Okay.
So they haven't really said, oh, it's all in her head. It's a real ghost. They haven't gone into exactly what this vision is. Other than that, it's a pretty standard superhero book. Lana Lang is fighting against Lena Luthor, Lex's sister.
That's some DC stuff for you right there.
Right?
On
the Marvel side, I've really upped my book count on Marvel. They're about even now, honestly. Been reading both the Doctor Strange books, which are very interesting. They just finished up a storyline where magic effectively got killed
in the
Marvel universe. Dealing with the fallout from that has been pretty cool.
Let's see. Who is any idea who's writing Doctor Strange right now?
I can look it up real quick.
Yeah, I want to say it's Jason Aaron, but I don't know for sure.
It is Jason Aaron.
Okay. All right. That's kind of where he belongs, is in that mysticism realm. He can write that stuff real well.
Mm-hmm.
Real well. But you said there's two books going on?
Yeah, there's Doctor Strange, which is the core story. And then there's one called Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme,
Okay.
Which is, honestly, it's becoming one of my favorite books. It is about Doctor Strange and a collection of other Sorcerer Supremes from various points in Earth's past and future working for Merlin, trying to stop these epic magical threats.
I think I found the cover here. I'm looking at it. So throughout all points of history. So I assume they all come together and they work as a team, or are they
that's
all?
That's the idea, but they're all pretty, I mean, they all pretty much follow in Doctor Strange's footsteps of being arrogant and convinced of their own power. So they don't really gel as well as they should as a team.
Did you have a chance to see the movie yet?
I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was excellent.
Yeah. I was worried. Going to, you know, putting Doctor Strange to film was something I was like, man, I don't know if the regular movie audience is going to enjoy this. I really don't know if I'm going to. But again, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's tough to find something that sucks.
It really is. I mean, they've really knocked it out of the park on pretty much every attempt.
Okay, so Doctor Strange, what else you got from Marvel?
I'm reading Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, which is, I believe I was reading that when we talked last, but it's still a very upbeat, sort of fun, high stakes sort of story. It's a good book to like leave to the end and read to come down off of, oh God, the world is ending. And then you have this just sort of nice finish where things are in general happy and everything goes right.
I'm looking at Patsy Walker Hellcat. Well, tell me real quick. I mean, give me an idea of what she does, because all I remember her, anything from her, is Jessica Jones when I watched this Netflix series. That's pretty much about it.
Well, Patsy Walker is as Hellcat, is a one of the other magical superheroes in the Marvel Universe.
I did not know that.
She has worked in the past as a private investigator for law firms, specifically for She-Hulk most recently. Her powers are, she's fast, she's got claws, she's basically got cat powers. But the whole story revolves around as much her alter ego as it does her superhero persona. It's, let's see here. I'll read the summary.
Okay.
Patsy Walker has managed to escape her past, her enemies, and hell itself, but nothing compares to job hunting in New York City. That's kind of a cross-section of what the whole book is like.
Okay.
It's got, you know, these fantastic events and, oh, she's busted out of hell, and then she's got to find a job.
Yeah, yeah.
Very well written by Kate Leff. The art by Brittany Williams is very expressive. Like I said, it's just a nice book to settle down with after finishing up all the death of magic and doom and gloom of some of the other books.
Yeah, that art is like some straight up almost romance comic. It reminds me of romance comics for some reason.
That's because Patsy Walker has a history in romance comics. That's the character of Patsy Walker was originally a very Archie inspired comic from Marvel.
I see.
With Patsy Walker and her friends and enemies and all that stuff in a high school setting. And then the character evolved from there into being a superhero and going to hell and getting magical cat powers. And now it hasn't gone all the way back to being a romance comic. There's actually very little romance in it at all, but it's got it's got that same feel of being a low stakes comedy, just fun read.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
Been reading the new run of Avengers. That's another one that they're doing sort of every other month, or every other month on that one is a different story, but they're able to, they're dividing those stories up very well. There's the present day Avengers, which is Sam Wilson as Captain America and Jane Foster as Thor and Hercules, Spider-Man, and the new Wasp. And they're fighting, they're doing one thing. And then the other storyline in it is about the second team of Avengers, where it was Captain America, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, and Hawkeye when they first got started. And they're trying to be as respected as the classic Avengers were.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two completely different casts of characters. It's much easier to keep the storyline separate. Whereas in Wonder Woman, it's still Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor, just in different time periods.
So these the point ones in these Avengers books?
Yes.
Okay.
We're just coming off of Civil War II.
I know what's happened in it. I guess we won't spoil anything, but what was your takeaway from the story? Did you enjoy it? And number two, did you like the way it ended?
I am going to be totally honest with you. I read as little of Civil War II as I possibly could.
Okay.
I did not care.
Do you know the big beats, though? The big things that happen in it, I would assume, right?
Yeah, how could I not know the big beats? I do read Captain Marvel, so they did show me quite a bit of what happened. But like some of the fallout from that is really upsetting me because I mean, I said this the last time I was on here. One of my favorite Marvel superheroes of all time is She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a huge She-Hulk fan, and they are completely undoing everything about her that I like with this fallout from Civil War II. And I'm not even sure it's a bad idea so much as I'm sure that I don't like it.
Oh,
like,
really?
it could be the best idea for the book, you know, for telling the new story and getting the new readers in and all that stuff. And I don't really care. I want my She-Hulk back.
I don't blame you. I mean, when you go years enjoying a character, which She-Hulk, I think, has gone through some changes. The lawyer persona has been there for quite a while, and they've done. Yep. I know that they've done the legal angle of what she's done for years. So when you enjoy a character like that, and then they take a storyline, they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do with, you know, so-and-so right now. You wonder if you're ever going to get that person or that character back the way it was. That's what's really scary, is the fact that if they're going to do this now and they're changing it, even if it's an unpopular opinion, you wonder if at any time are they ever going to change it back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things I'm most concerned about with She-Hulk, because I did read, I bit my tongue. I downloaded the first issue of the new Hulk series, which stars Jennifer Walters. I read it. There was absolutely no Hulk in it whatsoever.
None?
There were some tense moments, because they're going back to after the crisis of Civil War II. It's left Jennifer Walters shaken,
mm-hmm.
and she can't control her Hulk side anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she's taking over as the new Hulk because she's the new rage monster in town.
Not her.
Exactly.
That's like, not her.
This could be the best idea for the book. This could be the thing that catapults her onto the screen, you know, this could be the setup for the She-Hulk movie we've all been wanting. But
we've already had that. The thing is we've got that with Bruce Banner. We've got the rage monster with him. We don't need, I mean, if they did something like that, and I honestly don't see how it could fly very well easily. On the big screen or something like that, because people would think, well, this is just a ripoff of what we've seen already.
Right.
How are you going to, oh, she's a female. Oh, okay. That spins it. Well, no, you've got to, I'm not reading the book. So if there are things in there that really differentiate her from Hulk Smash, then great. But again, I liked the fourth wall breaking She-Hulk. I liked the that was from the 90s, I believe, the late 80s and the 90s.
John Byrne's run.
Yeah. Even through the first Civil War, she was somewhat of a big prominent player. But I mean, I can remember reading a few ancillary books that involved her in the first Civil War. Always, you know, level headed and green. But
yeah, very green all the time.
Green all the time. Has any reading habits changed?
Still doing digital. I do have access to a local comic shop now, but with the way my schedule works, the best way for me to get my hands on comics is still digital. I don't really have the time or the access that I would like to get out to the comic shop and buy the comics. I would love to support the comic shop more than I do. But like I was saying, The Unworthy Thor has been really good. I'm looking forward to seeing where they're going with that. That's another Jason Aaron, and he's been knocking it out of the park with that one.
Yeah.
U.S. Avengers is okay. I'm kind of only reading it because Squirrel Girl is in it, and I'm contractually obligated to read everything that Squirrel Girl is in.
So by contract, you have to read U.S. Avengers. What is? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, U.S. Avengers is spinning out of the pre-Civil War II New Avengers comic, which is about Roberto da Costa, the mutant Sunspot,
yeah,
who has taken over AIM, the old villain organization AIM, and has turned it into, first it was Avengers Idea Mechanics, and now it is American Idea Mechanics. And basically they're super scientists, they're mad scientists for good.
Okay.
And they've got their team of Avengers that take on threats near and far and all that good stuff. Right now the book is Squirrel Girl, Sunspot, Danielle Cage, the daughter of Jessica Jones and Luke Cage from the future, who is Captain America.
Wow. I see her right there on the cover. I'm looking.
Yep.
I'm looking at it.
Let's see who else. Cannonball is in it. A couple new characters that no one would recognize unless they read New Avengers.
I was going to make a assumption, but I don't think that's... Who's the dude back there with the star on his chest?
That is actually... That's Rescue. That's okay. The new Rescue. That's she's calling herself Iron Patriot now.
Oh, that's a girl. Whoops. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was...
It's kind of hard to see. It's a low resume.
Well, I thought it was Hulkling there for a second, but I was like, that is not Hulkling because the haircut, that's pretty much all I was basing it on.
Right.
Is this Red Skull on the front of this?
That is Golden Skull.
That's what I thought. I was like, that it can't be gold. That looks awful gold to me.
Golden Skull is a nemesis of Danielle Cage, in contrast to the Red Skull, who is all about power and taking over and bringing about the return of the Nazi regime. Golden Skull is just a thief.
Okay.
He just wants money. But and that book has been all right. It hasn't been anything great. It's missing something, and I can't even put my finger on what it is, but there's just that little edge of something that it doesn't have.
I don't recognize the creative team. I don't know. All I can see is the last name here, Ewing.
Al Ewing and Paco Medina.
Paco Medina sounds, sounds like I've heard him before, but...
And the art is fine. It's pretty standard comic book fare. It's nothing groundbreaking, but doesn't hurt your eyes either. Mm-hmm. And the writing is fine. It's not groundbreaking, but it doesn't hurt your brain either. It's just sort of an average book. Because of that, I don't know if I'm going to hang on to it too much longer, but I'm going to give it a fair shot.
Okay.
Spider-Man 2099, I'm still reading for some reason.
Is it on the chopping block, or is it just one of those ones where you're like, I've got it. I've got to stick with it.
I can't get rid of it because it is Miguel O'Hara, who is my favorite Spider-Man of all time.
Yep.
And I can't bring myself to stop reading it. I've tried. Oh God, I've tried. But it shows up on the pull list and I'm just like, yeah, I gotta
get it.
And then Champions. I've been reading Champions. That's been a really, really good read. Yeah, Champions is a new team book starring Ms. Marvel, Nova, Amadeus Cho as the Hulk, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Vision's daughter, and Cyclops. And they are a team of superheroes who are connected to social media and are kind of on the pulse of what's going on right now with them youngins. But in general, it's a teenage superhero book. And I've always been a fan of teenage superhero books. There's a certain energy that comes with younger teams that you can't get in like an Avengers book. There's like that edge of untested awkwardness that I really dig. And it's being written very well.
Have you read
Mark Waid is on it, so I mean you can't go wrong with Mark Waid.
He's proven his worth. Have you read any of the Vision?
I have. I briefly had a Marvel Unlimited subscription, which I think I should get back, and I used that to read, I would say, the first 7 or 8 issues of Vision, and thought it was a great comic book. The only reason I haven't read more of it is because I got rid of my Marvel Unlimited subscription.
Mm. That's where Vision's daughter, I believe. That series shows the creation of her, correct?
Yes. It's about the Vision making a family for himself. He has a wife and a son and a daughter. It's well worth reading. It's very odd, but in a good way.
Okay.
It kind of defies description. That's about it for the big two.
All right.
Completely forgot. All new Wolverine and Ms. Marvel, both of which are continuing to be great reads.
I was going to say, you excited for the new movie coming out?
Despite myself, I am.
Are you really? I haven't had a chance to... I think one of the most recent trailers dropped yesterday.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched it yet, but...
No, neither have I.
I've heard I've heard, I think Ronnie shared the Red Band, which the Red Band trailer, he said, well, specifically said, it's not safe for work, but I'm curious as to what's going on. We are covering, of course, we're covering Old Man Logan when that comes out. So, all right, have you read that? I assume you have.
I have read Old Man Logan. I'm not a huge fan of Old Man Logan.
That's where it seems like there's a split on that book. I hear people that, you know, I believe is Ronnie's a huge fan. Benjamin J. Cologne, no sir. He does not like that book at all. So
I am in general against the grim darkening of the comic book future.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
It really does. And when it's done well, like in Days of Future Past or Days of Future Past, it can be very interesting. I single that out because that's probably the only time I've ever really enjoyed the, oh, everything's gone to crap future and the storyline that comes of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not care for I didn't care for the art in Old Man Logan. I thought it was very ugly.
I'm trying to think if that was Steve McNiven.
But other than that, just the subject matter was sort of gross. They had that whole family of inbred Hulks thing.
Oh, dude. There were extremes taken with so many of these characters. You know,
it was
over the top.
It was just sort of an ugly book. And I didn't then, nor do I have now the time to really waste on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I'll read some dark stuff. You know, that's not the problem. But just that unrepentantly ugly. I could be doing better things with my time.
Well, I mean, you're right. Why would if you don't enjoy it, why read it?
Exactly.
So with anybody's pull list, you could usually see a theme of what they enjoy, whether it be, you know, stories where people are getting their heads chopped off left and right and blood, gore, Walking Dead kind of stuff. If it's written well, great. But if it's gore for gore's sake, or just telling you this to kind of gross you out, which there's a lot, I think, of that in Old Man Logan.
There is.
Everybody's dead. Hawkeye and Wolverine are just kind of crossing the country, and you come across so many stories of how heroes that we grew up and loved in, throughout Marvel history, have met some pretty gruesome deaths.
Yeah,
I think Giant Man's like laying across his skeleton's like laying across a road, and they have to cross it. It's just like, man, come on. It'll be fun to discuss that when the time is right. Once that movie drops. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, I asked you if you were excited about the movie. You were talking about X-23. Was it X-23?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. She is the new Wolverine, right?
Yeah, she's currently taking on the mantle of Wolverine. Very fun book. Can go to some pretty dark places. They've been dealing with, I don't know how much you know about X-23, but she's bred to be an assassin. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways they controlled her was with this specific scent. It's called the trigger scent. And it turns her into it basically puts her into a Wolverine-style berserker rage.
Berserker rage, yep.
They've been playing around with that a lot lately. They injected it into one person that they wanted her to kill. They dropped her in the middle of a small town in the Midwest and laced the air with the trigger scent.
Oh, wow.
So it's been to some pretty dark places. But kind of on that same notion, it doesn't glorify in it. Like, this whole time that this is happening, the overwhelming sensation you're supposed to get is you're supposed to feel sorry for everyone, including X-23.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that she can do about this. So it's been an interesting read. Ms. Marvel continues to be just a lot of fun.
Good.
G. Willow Wilson continues to shock me with how awesome her writing can be. And that's been another one that was hit hard by Civil War too, with Kamala losing faith in Captain Marvel.
I don't know if Civil War II's impact on many titles is looked, if people look at it as a positive thing, because there's a lot of titles that affected. Some people say that the ending of that whole story was kind of flat, fell kind of flat.
It did,
but then again, you know, you see people who are talking about how things have changed with quite a few of their favorite, you know, quite a few of their favorite heroes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that Civil War II is a very important story, but I think it's a very broad story.
I hear you.
They did a lot to make it so that basically no one was untouched by Civil War II, just like they did with the original Civil War. The original Civil War changed the way Marvel Comics ran for ages. They wanted to do the same thing with Civil War II. I think that they were working with not as great of a storyline with Civil War II. Like, I don't think it was as visceral as the original Civil War. And I'm no fan of Civil War, like, not even remotely. But the idea of registration versus anti-registration,
that was something I could feel when I was reading it.
Right, it was a big deal.
That was, yeah. You knew that was something that every hero had the right to be on the opposite side of the other hero for, because that was something you could see them believing in, you know, they have their good reasons for believing in.
Right.
Now, as for Minority Report, I don't know. It's some of the things that I had heard was that they, you know, a lot of the strong stances some of the heroes had were negated by actions that they took or others took on their side. That's kind of the impression I got. I'm right there with you. I haven't had a chance to read it. I've heard a couple podcasts discuss it. I think, you know, our own Ronnie Adams and his Screaming Boy podcast, they talked a little bit about it as well. All right. Any other ones there?
Well, other than the big two, I am reading a couple of comics from IDW.
Okay. Can I predict one?
Go ahead.
Revolution?
No.
Oh, dang.
No, I only read as much of Revolution as I needed to.
Was that like...
Because I have no interest in G.I. Joe or Mask or...
Oh, you okay. All right. I knew you were a big Transformers fan, though. Didn't you like... If I remember right, a long time ago when we did... when I did Transformers G.I. Joe, you expressed some interest in that, I thought. Maybe I'm getting you mixed up. Okay. All right. So are you a Transformers fan or...
I'm a huge Transformers fan.
Okay. All right.
And I've picked up a couple of Transformers books in the post-Revolution world. And honestly, a couple things that are happening in them are making me wish I or want to go back and read some of the other Revolution titles. I'm reading currently one that has nothing to do with anything Revolution, Transformers Lost Light, which is all mostly B-list group of Transformers off having wacky space adventures.
Okay.
That I've been reading since it came out like several years ago as Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. So that's nothing has changed there. But what has changed is I did pick up a Revolution tie-in. I picked up Transformers Optimus Prime, which is all about what's going on Earth, the sort of icy stance between the Transformers on Earth and Earth's various governments being watched over by the G.I. Joe program.
That's so weird. Because the purpose of Revolution is to make this all one universe, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That's so weird to think about them actually. I mean, I've done the crossovers and I always thought, man, it's neat to actually see these one-off stories. But now to actually think about them in a controlled universe in the same universe. What are you thinking so far?
Well, Skywarp is a G.I. Joe, so there's that.
Whoa. Really now?
Yep. In the Optimus Prime series, you've got, well, the whole Autobot Decepticon war has been over for a while in the comics. Megatron ended up joining the Autobots side for a big crossover called Dark Cybertron, and he's with the cast of the Lost Light in the other book. But the other thing that came out of that was Earth has been sort of forcefully annexed into the Cybertronian League of Planets. So they were sort of catapulted onto the intergalactic stage.
Yeah.
And it's led to some interesting events, such as Skywarp becoming a G.I. Joe. But I dig it. It's got a very interesting classical art style. Kay Zama. And the art reminds me of the old Marvel Transformers books, but more detailed. But it's got that same sort of heavy pencil look to it.
Yeah, I'm looking at I think this is the cover of the first issue. That's Soundwave hanging out there with Optimus.
Yep, they're allies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing that jumping into Revolution and picking it up. A lot of people weren't ready for the fact that, you know, everything that's happened before has stayed the same in these books. Like,
right.
So it's not like they're rebooting in any way. It's they're still using the same continuity that they had, which is cool. I mean, if it's a well-written book, I have no problem jumping in sometimes on issues or on series. But of course, it leads me to more questions, which kind of sometimes works in the benefit of the creators, because you're then going back, scrambling for those back issues and wanting to snatch them up if you can, or the trades.
Right.
So, very cool.
That is about the long and short of what I've been reading.
Nice. While you're looking around there, let me ask you, what'd you think of Suicide Squad, the movie?
Still haven't seen it. Probably won't see it.
Oh, really?
I am. It's going to take a lot for the for DC to get me to put my ass in a seat for the for any of the movies from here on out.
What happened? Was it Batman versus Superman?
Batman versus Superman. that movie, man.
All the standard stuff that I've heard so far is, you know, save Martha. you know, that really pissed a lot of people off.
Your mom's named Martha? My mom's named Martha. Bro.
Bro. What else was there? I mean, it was clearly Zack Snyder-y.
Yeah. I really didn't like Jesse Eisenberg's take on Lex Luthor. Mm. I thought he was, I don't know if it was the actor's idea or if it was Zack Snyder's idea, but he was kind of skewing more towards the Joker.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel it fit the character very well. I thought in tone, the movie was way too dark. And, you know, that's going to happen when you try and adapt The Dark Knight Returns.
Yep.
Which is exactly what he did, not keeping in mind the fact that The Dark Knight Returns worked because it was the end result of ages and ages and ages of Superman and Batman comics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'll probably go see Justice League.
Well, that's DC's shot at the Avengers.
Right.
I mean, if they screw that up, I don't know if there's any hope other than, you know, because I'm the same way. When you get a team book like that together, my problem is with the Justice League is I honestly don't think there's enough background for those characters to make that movie work well. Respected background. We'll see what happens with Wonder Woman. I haven't watched any trailers for that, but from what I've heard, the response on that is actually pretty positive. Are you going to try and catch that movie?
I might. That might be one that I pick up on DVD, either rent or just buy. I don't think I'm going to go to the theater, like waste my time to go to the theater and see it.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to get me to the theater to watch a movie, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, not only do I have, you know, the kids and all that stuff to think first, you know, of course I took the kids to Age of Ultron and Caleb tried to stay awake and wanted his mommy about an hour into it. And I was like, dude, come on, just sit down. We only got another hour and a half to go. But so it can kind of that's one barrier. Even that, I mean, to get me to go actually pay all that money to go watch a movie, I am one of those guys that would be upset if I paid a lot of money to go watch a movie, all that money, all that time, and then turn around and not be impressed and actually almost want to walk out of it.
Yeah.
Which there's been a couple movies that I've watched on, you know, either renting DVD wise or whatever, where I'm like, well, I'm glad I never paid money to go watch this. So, well, it'll be interesting. I can't find anything. I don't know if there's any big events scheduled. Have you heard anything for like comic book story events coming up this year? I assume, are they going to end Rebirth this year?
I honestly don't think they will. I think
they're keep it going and going and going.
Well, they kept the New 52 branding for ages.
True.
So I don't see why they would change the Rebirth branding, at least not yet. But I haven't heard anything about any sort of big events or any major crossovers coming up.
Has there been any words on shows, like TV shows? Riverdale, are you an Archie fan?
I am a fan of a specific Archie character whose name escapes me at the moment. Hang on one second.
Is it Jughead?
No. Kevin Keller. He's a newer character. He was sort of created as the token gay.
Oh, I remember this. Is this where the Archie got shot, right? Was he involved in that storyline in some way?
Yes. Okay. That was Archie got shot. Future Archie got shot protecting Kevin Keller from an assassin's bullet.
Okay. All right.
Because Kevin was like, he was the president, or he was being inaugurated or something like that.
That's timely.
Yeah. But anyway, big fan of Kevin. They had an ongoing Kevin Keller series that I read from beginning to end. So I'm interested in Riverdale at the very least to see if they're going to have him in there or not.
Mm-hmm. It's CW.
CW stuff is usually pretty good.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well with most of what they got. I don't know if there's rumor. I mean, at least some people believe that Arrow's going to be ending. Is that a show that you usually catch?
Not really. My big CW show is The Flash.
The Flash. Same here.
Haven't seen any of season 3 yet. I'm kind of holding off because I don't get to watch a whole lot of TV. I watch a whole lot of my TV on DVD or Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Hulu doesn't do simulcasts of
CW
shows really, really upsets me.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think of any other shows that are coming out. I know that I think they're supposed to be doing something similar to a Dark Justice League or
They're doing a Justice League Dark animated movie.
Okay.
That looks pretty all right. The last couple Justice League movies have been okay. They're doing, just found out about this, they're doing a revitalization of Constantine.
Yeah.
On the CW Seed. You were mentioning the CW reminded me of that, where they're doing a season 2 of that show in animated form, which I'm pretty excited about.
Oh, okay. So it's not actually going to be live action.
No, it's going to be animated. It's going to be on the CW Seed, which is their, I think that's their online programming.
Okay.
But it's going to have the same actor from the TV voicing John. So that's interesting.
Yeah, my sister is a big fan of that series. I was really upset when they got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be excited.
Yeah, I think that the fact that they don't have to conform to network standards for their online program, and I don't think it's going to be like super R-rated, but like some of the themes that Constantine gets into, I think it'll be better for an online market, and the fact that it'll be animated will be easier on the budget.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I can't think of anything else to talk about, dude. I want to, number one, thank you for coming on here, spending the last hour and a half with me to talk about comics and catching us up on what you've been reading.
Yeah, no problem.
At some point, dude, like I said, we're the schedule's out there. Do not ever hesitate to send me something if you're interested in doing a book or want to get in on a book. I know you love your Frank Miller. I kid. I absolutely enjoy having you on here, and I appreciate you taking your time out to talk comics with us.
Hey, no problem.
I think that's about it. Would you like to plug anything, sir, before I hit end on the broadcast?
Yes, I am actually, this is being recorded on the 20th of January. On the 21st of January, my Twitch show, Marvel Heroes Marvel Mornings, is going to be starting back up. Now that the new update for the game is out and they've changed everything around, I'm going to get back into streaming that on a daily basis. That's at twitch.tv/thefilmtwit. I'm sure we can drop a link to that somewhere in the show notes.
Absolutely.
I do that every morning, usually pretty early, like 5 or 6-ish. But the streams are always archived on my Twitch page. So if you want to go back and check out one of my streams, feel free to do that. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at TheFilmTwit. And that's really all I've got going on right now.
All right, Cole, I appreciate it once again. I am Jesse Starcher. That's Cole Marentette. I want to thank anybody out there that's been listening. Have a great evening.